Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Paul, Lessons from a Changed Life. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 13, verse 9, A Slave of Christ. That verse, Acts 13:9, says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him." Who was this man? Dr. Ariel White wrote, "He was the greatest of Christians, profoundest of teachers, staunchest of friends, most intrepid of adventurers, most dauntless of sufferers, and the most winsome of saints. Paul of Tarsus, soldier and slave and lover of Jesus Christ our Lord." Ernest Hanser wrote, "His conversion was violent and dramatic, his roving life full of action and danger, and whose achievement was to transform Christianity from a small Hebrew sect into a world religion." The story of Paul is one of the greatest adventures of all time. Many crises, quick decisions, narrow escapes, and outbursts of violence. It is no easy story to tell. Based on a large medallion from a Roman cemetery and a glass dish and ancient writings, it reads, "He was not more than 3 cubits tall, and since a cubit was a foot and a half of our measuring, Paul, who breathed forth fire and slaughter, was less than 5 feet tall. But he was broad-shouldered. His athletic victories had hardened his well-conditioned body. He was sinewy and graceful in spite of his prematurely balding head and the gray, early gray that encroached on the close-knit eyebrows and thick beard in this, his 30th year. Yet, it was not his stalwart figure, nor his fair complexion, nor the decision suggested by the long aquiline nose, not yet his impelling manner that held the crowded synagogue silent. What transformed Paul, bespelling his hearers, was his fire of faith, a zeal that flashed and flared in those enormous eyes that were like two draft windows in a human furnace. He who often conceded that his bearing was not impressive stood in the Damascus synagogue and impressed everyone within the sound of his voice, beginning there a ministry for Christ that was to last 39 years, the greatest faith ever known." That was written by Fulton Wunsler. It's fair to say that writing about the Apostle Paul's physical appearance are not very kind. One writing says that he was a small man, feeble, plain, nearsighted, bald-headed, crooked legs, vigorous physique, hook-nosed, and all you have to do is reference 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, where the apostle himself writes, "For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible." Consider, too, Paul's personal description of himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. "Even though I am untrained in speech, Yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. Herbert Lockyer wrote, all of this indicates that the apostle had a frail body which groaned under the demands made upon it, barely able to meet them. Yet the fire of zeal glowed and burned in his feeble frame and consumed him with its fervor. How God magnified his grace and power by placing such treasure in a cracked yet clean earthen vessel. Paul may have been short in physical stature, but he stands tall, a commanding figure second only to the Master himself in the history of the Christian faith. Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. You have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Paul entered the New Testament as a young man at the stoning of Stephen, who consented to the execution and guarded the coats of the stone throwers. Look at the following scripture passages. Acts chapter 7. Verse 58 down to verse 60. Verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts chapter 22 and verse 20. And when the blood of the young martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Acts chapter 6. Verses 8 to 10. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some of what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Paul was probably one of, quote, those from Cilicia, because Tarsus is located there. Paul became the chief persecutor of Christians. He had no mercy on them, hunting them down. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 tell us, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. as most of the Jews, he looked for a conquering Messiah, not a felon who died on a cross, as it's clearly emphasized in his own testimony. In Acts chapter 26, verse 9 down to verse 11, indeed, I myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them to foreign cities. Paul saw this new sect of Jesus' followers as a threat to Judaism. And it was, of course. It had to be exterminated as heresy. So Paul made it his personal passion to oppose and dispose of it. It was two passions which drove Paul on. One, pursue to death all followers of Jesus Christ. And second, destroy the Christian church completely. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, again, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. He wasn't satisfied that the church was scattered from Jerusalem. He pursued it to foreign cities. Damascus had become an asylum, so he got a warrant to search and arrest Christians and started out. Emerson wrote, "The history of persecution is the record of endeavors to cheat nature, to make water run uphill, to twist a rope of sand. The martyr cannot be dishonored. Hours of sanity and consideration are always arriving to communities as to individuals where the truth is seen and the martyrs are justified. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and the chief persecutor, Paul, demonstrated this point. All the resources of the Sanhedrin came against Stephen and other believers. Paul began his journey to Syria as a fire-breathing destroyer, and the cause of Christ never looked darker. Imagine the saints in Damascus trembling as they heard that he was the one coming to destroy them. But, as someone once said, and we will see next time, man proposes and God disposes. Paul's breathing out of threats and slaughter suddenly stopped as a miracle occurred. You have a great day.